and good Saturday morning, and I mean that in a number of ways, especially weather-wise. Hey, happy National Gumbo Day today. Hey, what is your favorite gumbo? Chicken, sausage, andouille, seafood, okra? Let me know. What's your favorite gumbo ingredients? It's also National Wildlife Refuge Week. We got more about both of those coming up. And a couple of fishing tournaments going on this morning we'll tell you about. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and survivors of the recent hurricanes. And, boy, over here in the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, we are so thankful for this gorgeous fall weather we've enjoyed this week. Got more of it coming next week. And it's pretty much perfect for squirrel, rabbit, and archery hunters. I made a quail trip to Crane Creek in Poplarville, which unusual for this time of the year. The dogs were able to work very well and got a couple of good hours in before it heated up. Had some LSU Tigers in the wild with us, and we'll tell you more about that episode on Bayou Wild TV. That'll be coming up. Hey, if you are one of the applicants who was not selected for a black bear permit, well, you're not alone. You are in the company of 963 others whose names were not drawn. We'll tell you more about the upcoming first ever Louisiana bear hunts in decades. Way more demand for those bear permits than the supply. We'll tell you about that. Also have a story that puts a whole new meaning into the term a bad night of frogging, and that is made possible by two bad boys of the outdoors. And each week we ask if you have had a successful fishing or a hunting trip. We'd like to include it along with your comments and your questions with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time here to the studio, 504-260-1870. Tell us who you are, where you are, and what you've been doing and got going on. That's 504-260-1870. If you're headed out, well, you are in for a lovely morning along the great Gulf Coast. Nothing on the radar anywhere I can find. Looked at it with a magnifying glass. Couldn't find anything. We're starting off in some areas in the high 50s. Low 60s, it probably won't get a whole lot warmer than that, maybe topping off around the mid-80s, midday. Winds northeast offshore, about 8 to 15 knots. 2 to 3 foot seas, that's for today. Tomorrow, pretty much a rerun of that. And on the interior lakes and bays, you can expect some northeast to east winds, about 6 to 12 knots, and an average tide range of 1.4. A lot of water moving out. Boy, what ideal conditions. If you had to pick a day to go fishing, and unless the winds really kick up, what a wonderful day to be out there. Of course, that doesn't mean the fish are going to bite. But the stage is set. It's looking good. And we've got a lot of reports coming up for you. Did want to mention, if you're headed over towards the Slidell, New Orleans East area, the Lake Catherine Island Marina is the site of the Venetian Isles 9th Annual Fishing Rodeo. This one really has the kids in mind. Three categories. You got the adults, junior anglers, 10 to 15, and the youth who are 9 and under. You can sign up in any of those categories. Rodeo started yesterday, got a full day today, and it will wrap up again tomorrow. So if you're going to be in that area, got categories for speckled trout, sheephead, bass, redfish under 27. Flounder still open. Got a couple days left before the flounder closure comes in. Also the biggest fish and alligator gar. And for the 9 and under kids, some extra categories including catfish, flounder, croaker, and any trout, either white or speckled trout. Again, Lake Catherine Island Marina. You can get your tickets there, get signed up, and check in the weigh-ins both this afternoon and tomorrow. That's the 9th Annual Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo, a great one. Also, they got Wild Things at 2024 coming up. It's celebrating this National Wildlife Refuge Week. And if you don't take advantage of our National Wildlife Refuges, we've got a lot of great ones here in Louisiana. We'll tell you how you can find out a whole lot more about them and do some celebrating at one in particular. But we're back with Robbie Campos Fishing Info from Shell Beach next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And on this gorgeous looking Saturday morning, let's head on down to Shell Beach and talk to Robbie Campo. And Robbie, this is the kind of day that a fisherman prays for. If you ain't fishing today, you're missing. How'd it go this week?
Well, you know, Don, you are exactly correct. Because today is a day that sets the stage for fall fishing. And, you know, you don't get many days where you have, the perfect alignment of the stars, where you have no wind, you got good tide movement, and, you know, and the water temperatures are coming down. This past week, Don, you know, we had some stiff northeast winds. But that did not stop the fish from biting. You know, all through the week was good fishing. You know, yesterday was pretty decent. It wasn't as good yesterday as it was earlier in the week. But nevertheless, you know, you got everything lined up today. You got good tide movement. And, you know, water temperatures are, you know, what we're always looking for here in that mid-70s range. So if you're not fishing today, you're missing the boat, man, because it's going to be some fun fishing today. Some people asking, where do we go? Where do we go start fishing at this time of the year? Pick it. If you fish Delacroix, go to Delacroix. If you fish out of Hopedale, go to Hopedale. If you fish out of Shell Beach, come to Shell Beach. If you want to fish Chalmette up by Bybee Avenue, fish Bybee Avenue. It doesn't matter. The fish are biting in all of your fall fishing spots. Now is the time to get yourself up going, get the boat moving, make sure that everything's good to go, get fishing. This is it. This is what we wait for. This is the time of the year, and it's happening as we speak.
Yep, no bugs, nice moderate temperatures, no wind. Man, it just doesn't get any better than that, and it's going to be a lot of sunshine out there, and you can get a really good trip in today. Robbie, has it been mostly redfish or speckled trout or a combination, whatever you want?
Don, it's been mixed bags. It's if you're fishing up the channel, you know, towards Chalmette, you know, you're getting some freshwater catfish mixed in there up in that intercoastal area. You're getting white trout. You're getting speckled trout. If you're coming down this way, it's mixed. It's a mixture between speckled trout and white trout around the Shell Beach area here. If you're going to the Long Rocks, you're going to get that mixed bag with some puppy drums, some redfish, some, you know, speckled trout, white trout mixture. Up in the Biloxi Marsh is more or less redfish and trout. If you're going out over the oyster reefs in Lawson Bay area, Lake Eugene, you're going to get white trout mixed up in there. Same thing if you switch over to the south side, going to Lake Robin, Lake Coquille area, you know, you're going to get a mixture of that whites and specks over there. Back up in that interior marsh behind Delacroix back there, it's been mostly red. So things are happening, Don. It's just you can't ask for better fishing than it is right now. And now is the time. So we got plenty of bait in the tanks. We're stocked up. We're waiting on you to get here. All you got to do is hook the left at the bridge and come on down, see us at Campos, and we're gonna get you in the water, get you going, and get you whatever you need, and you got to go catch the fish.
Robbie, we need to remind people flounder closures coming up. You can keep them and catch them this weekend, but starting Tuesday, they're going to be off limit till the end of November.
That is exactly correct, and that'll be done, you know, from October the 15th to November the 30th. You know, we're starting to see, you know, and I know wildlife knows when these things are going to start to migrate or do whatever they do, but it just always seems funny that they close it at the best time of the year. We've seen more flounders caught in the last week than we've seen all summer. So, but yeah, you only got a couple more days left of that, and then, you know, then it's going to be shut down to November the 30th. We don't want you to get no trouble, so pencil that in and make sure you have that, and you have that noted. You don't want to get no trouble.
Yeah, you know, well, it wouldn't make good biological sense to do the closure when nobody's catching them. You know, the peak time when you catch them, it contributes to preserving more of them. And the whole purpose is to allow those females to escape offshore where they do spawn. And so far, it seems like it's working because the flounder fishing has gotten better just over the past couple of years, and it hadn't been in effect that long.
Well, you know, Don, you know, right after when they were spraying this Corexit, you know, sinking this oil and BP spill, I thought the flounder was going to be history. And the amount that I saw dead floating in those rafts of fish out there, you know, along with everything else, but the flounders mostly, you know, I thought we were going to lose them. And for a very long time, you didn't see hardly any. So these, you know, sometimes, you know, I know people, they gripe about it, but you had to see what was going on at the time to know why the wildlife fishers is doing what they do, you know, with closing this down. It's not because they don't want you to catch them. They need them to rebound, and that's exactly what's happening. So, I really did. I thought we were going to lose the species, the whole thing. But, you know, they have rebounded. They're coming back, and I think this is something that wildlife will probably look at in the future here to maybe, you know, loosen the regulations a little bit, or either maybe just take it away, you know, lift the regulations, I should say. So, but it is helping.
I believe you're right. Robbie, thanks so much for the report, and I know you're going to be a busy guy down there. A lot of people are going to be fishing today with these conditions, and hope they do well, and we'll check in with you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Don. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
All righty. Robbie Campo, our field reporter down at Shell Beach, where he manages Campo's Marina. Coming back after this, I got some text messages coming in. If you want to shoot me one, it's 504-260-1870. You got a fishing, hunting report that you did this week you want to share with the audience? Or maybe just tell us who you are, where you are, and what you got going on. And what is your favorite type of gumbo? Is it chicken sausage? Is it seafood? Is it okra? Or something else? Maybe, I've heard some weird things in gumbos. Let me know, 504-260-1870. That's our text board right here to the studio. We're back with those right after this time out. You are listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board. We have our first one up is a regular listener, the Lafayette Yacker. He says, good morning. He's on Highway 23, and he's with some characters. He's there with the Frog Lawyer, Captain Bigfoot. That, of course, is Eric Mohabarak, our field reporter. Will be checking in with him later on. They're down at the Fallen Tide. Also, Brendan Bayard is down there. The whole gang, I think he calls them the Black Sheep Crew or something like that. Oh, boy, these guys. Steve Lassard, a premier kayaker down there. Let's see, he's trying to steal some boo down. We'll get the full story when we talk to Captain Eric. That's going on down at the Delta Marina today. It's called the Fallen Tide. I believe that's the oldest in the array of fishing tournaments that is put on by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. In addition, this one is a Hobie qualifier to be able to go on to bigger and better competition in the Hobie series. We'll get the scoop on that from Eric. All right, here's one from our buddy Wingbone in Wilmer, Alabama. He's drinking coffee, listening to the show, and he's listening to the owls. You know, I had one that woke me up in the middle of the night this morning. I mean loud. It sounded like it was right outside my window. And, boy, they can do a pretty loud call. I wonder what that's all about. Anyway, we got Nuck Chorus. he's heading to the Breck Catfish Rodeo, hoping to put some lips on the bank. I didn't get any information on that. That's the Baton Rouge Recreation organization that has ponds, Breck fishing ponds. I'm not sure. I guess that's the one on Burbank. They stock those, the Wildlife and Fishery does, with catfish, but I'm not sure if that's a personal rodeo or an official one. Let us know a little bit more detail on that. Nuck might have some people out there trying to get some of those catfish along with you. Here's one says, good morning, all y'all. Basking in the beauty of fall here in Ohio. Well, we got a little bit of taste of it here in Louisiana. The only hunting trip I participated in this week was at the ballot box. Enjoy this world, get off your duff, and vote. Yeah, we got some elections coming up, and a big one on November the 5th, and I've already done my duty and already voted. All right, here's fishing down in Dulac at the Morris Luquette camp. Been very good this week. Limits, redfish, specks, and threw some flounder in for lanyap. Yeah, there was some excellent fishing reports from all across the coast this week. Over there, we're not going to get a chance to talk to our friend Kirk Stancil over at Hackberry, but they had an outstanding week over there. A lot of slot reds coming in, sprinkled in a few flounder, and, of course, the trout were participating too. All right, here's another one. Let's see. We got, prayers to Florida. Experienced some Katrina PTSD with Milton. The memories just kept flooding in. You know, I know what you mean. It also spawned some Katrina memories for me back then. I remember wrapping up this show at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning with the forecast coming across that Katrina did not make the turn and was headed for the mouth of the river. And we all know what happened from there. I brought back a lot of memories seeing some of that devastation and destruction. I was called into emergency broadcast duty I spent 21 days without electricity before it was restored. It was nice to get into the studio because there was electricity there when my shift came up. We were working three-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, trying to help people. The only thing they had was their radios, their little portable battery-powered radios. Some of them are radios in the vehicles, and that's how we got them information to where the emergency distribution centers were and some of the shelters and what was being done. I was actually honored with an article that appeared in the Times-Picayune about the transition I made from covering hunting and fishing to covering emergency broadcasting, and it was quite an experience. And, you know, I had an advantage because most of the damage, the most severe part, was down along the lower coast, and I've been all over the Louisiana coast over the last of my lifetime, everywhere from Pearl River and Venice in the east all the way to Hackberry and Calcasieu in the west and everything in between. So I was familiar with all those areas, the hydrology of those areas, and was able to explain it and cover it in a way that a lot of regular broadcasters could not. But anyway, yep, so you bring up some sad memories from Katrina. You know, to this day, because I didn't have electricity, I couldn't watch any of it on television. I have never seen the coverage, and they tell me it's pretty sad of what went on in the city of New Orleans, and I really don't care to watch it. Never have, and hopefully never will. All right, we got the backstrap stacker checking in. He's over there in Alabama. His favorite gumbo has to be seafood loaded with shrimp and crab meat. It's National Gumbo Day. What is your favorite gumbo? What's the ingredients that you put in it? And if you are looking for an emergency gumbo, hey, Uncle Larry's. Go to your favorite store. You can check him out on the Facebook page or his website and find out who carries it in your area. It's great stuff, and I use it all the time. All right, we'll be right back after this and get some more fishing reports, get some more of your text messages, 504-260-1870. Also going to tell you about a wild thing. We'll be back to do it after this three-minute pause where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have a Wild Things celebration coming up. This will be today. Get started a little bit later on, about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's open to the public. It is a free event, and it's celebrating National Wildlife Refuge Week. There's going to be some family-friendly outdoor activities for the kids. They'll have live animals on display, live music. They're giving hay rides, canoe tours on the bayou, and a whole lot more. The parking and the activities are all free. Food's going to be available for purchase, and it benefits the Friends of Louisiana Wildlife Refuges, Inc. Wild Things is the perfect time to rediscover your true nature, and you can do it at the Southeast Louisiana National Wildlife Refuges Complex. That's located at 61389 Highway 434 in Lacombe. You can access that from Highway 190 on the southern end and I-12 on the northern end. If you find Highway 434 between 190 and I-12, you're going to find it. It's signed up very well. It is the headquarters for all of the Southeast Louisiana National Wildlife Refuges, and we've got a lot of them. Many of them allow hunting. The one that's closest, they've got Big Branch, and of course you got the ones down the river, by the mouth of the river. You've got some over there near the Atchafalaya. Lots of places to go. If you Google it, Southeast Louisiana National Wildlife Refuges, we pay for these. This is all taxpayer-funded areas, and it offers a lot of opportunity for hiking and backpacking and canoeing and some fishing, and in some instances you can hunt on them. They do have regulations that are a little bit more restrictive because of high use expected than what the state seasons allow, so you might want to check it out, and you've got to get a little permit, and it says that you've read the regulations, you sign it, that becomes your free pass into the wildlife refuges. So happy National Wildlife Refuge Day. Wild Things going on from 10 to 4 today. I might want to make a stop over there at the headquarters of the National Wildlife Refuges in Lacombe on Highway 434. All right, going to get to some of your text messages, but first we got to take a quick 10-second pause for our local stations to identify themselves on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have a text message board that comes directly here to the studio, and I know a lot of you want to send me pictures of your catches and your kills. I love to see them, but you need to send them to me on my email address because the text board does not allow photographs. It's strictly for text messages. And my email, you can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com and just go to the contact button, and that'll be an email. You can shoot me an email there if you want to send some pictures. We appreciate that. All right, here's one that says, "Hey, Don, caught my first Grand Slam in my 70 years of fishing this week in Lafitte." Well, congratulations. "They wanted live shrimp. I was glad to give it to them. All the fish were beautiful size. Enjoying the show." That's from Pinball. Well, congratulations, Pinball, and took you a while, but glad you got it and got to do it in some really nice weather. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? All right, here's a text, no name. It says, "It's gumbo. Gumbo means mixed. That means whatever. Trevor." I guess it's Trevor, to a point. "It's a more beautiful base. Everything else is lanyap." Yeah, some truth to that. You get the gravy right, and whatever else you put in there is exactly that, lanyap. All right, I asked about the catfish rodeo for Breck, and I got a reply from Nuck Choris. He said it's the one at Howell Park. That's where that one will be held. And here's a memory. "Good morning. I'm listening to Latte, which is one of the two German shorthairs. They're sisters. Mine, Smoky Lily, and Latte, owned by Dean Galatis. We hunted with both those dogs this week up in Papaville. They did great, by the way. But anyway, Latte is snoring this morning and brings back a memory. We made a Texas bird hunting trip with a buddy of mine who's no longer with us, Hokie Gajan, a famous running back for Baker High, LSU, New Orleans Saints, later on became a broadcaster. And Dean remembers that Hokie made the best chicken and sausage gumbo when we were on that Texas bird hunt trip. It's still his favorite. Yeah, I remember that. Now, Hokie could cook, too. He was a pretty good cook. All right, and we have this one here says, yep, someone else sharing that PTSD from Milton, reminding folks about the Katrina issue we had here. And here's a very simple message, from the Sabine to the Pearl. I guess that's from west to east, although the Mississippi, actually, if you look at it on the map, down near below Venice, that is actually a little further east in Louisiana than the Pearl would be. And here's one says, good morning, Don. I am delivering storm supplies in Perry, Florida. I'm sure glad we didn't get this. That's from the River Rat. Well, bless you, River Rat. I'm sure those people are going to be very appreciative delivering those supplies. All right, here's one that says, there used to be a place called Kentucky Greg's in Buffalo, New York. He had some roast beef and Polish sausage gumbo that was surprising really good. Throw in a side of fried okra, and it was a meal. Roast beef and Polish sausage. There's a lot of things you can put in a gumbo. We'd love to hear what your favorite is. 504-260-1870. We got fishing reports still to come. Going to talk about the black bear permitting process. And also Hunters for the Hungry. They've got a mission they're on to collect a million plates with protein for the needy this deer hunting season, and they need your help. They're targeting $100,000 in under 100 days. We'll tell you more about that and a lot of the stuff you and I just love to talk about every Saturday morning. We do it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting some taste-tempting recipes in for the gumbos. If you got your favorite, we'd like to hear from you. 504-260-1870. We'll get to gumbo in a minute, but I do want to tell you about the Black Bear Hunting Lottery process. It is over, and I would say it was a rousing success. I didn't think there would be that many people wanting to hunt black bear, but they got in a total of 973 applications, and 10 people, only 10, were drawn for the lottery, and they're being vetted right now for their eligibility. The hunt's going to be taking place between December 7th and the 22nd in Bear Management Area 4. Those would be Tensaw, Madison, East Carroll, and West Carroll parishes, and some parts of Richland, Franklin, and Catahoula parishes. And a total of 649 black bear hunting licenses were sold. Now you say, why would they buy 649 when there were only 10 people that needed them? Well, that was one of the prerequisites for applying. You had to buy the bear license, whether you knew you were going to get picked or not. So there's a lot of people with bear hunting licenses that will not get to use them. The applications had 357 for the private landowner lottery, 311 for the management area lottery, and 305 for the general lottery. Now, there is an advantage. If you applied and were not selected, you get preference points. And a lot of lotteries do that, which makes it easier for you to get picked in future years as these bear hunting seasons expand. But anyway, there's 10 lucky people that will be going to hunt bear December 7th through 22nd in Bear Management Area 4. But if you bought your license and you applied and you weren't picked, don't feel like you're the lonely person, because there's a lot of other people who also were not chosen. All right, let's get back to the text message boards. I wanted to mention Uncle Larry is cooking 16 gallons of chicken and andouille, his Ready Set Gumbo, for a Mississippi road trip. Now, it's at an undisclosed location, so I can't tell you where to go sample it, but he's also going to be a guest on an upcoming Mississippi public broadcast radio called Deep South Dining. That'll be on Monday. It's a show that airs on Mississippi's public broadcast radio. So it's going to be a happy National Gumbo Day if you can find Larry Roussel of Uncle Larry's Gumbo. All right, we also got this one coming in. Says, duck and andouille gumbo with a dark roux. Whoo, yeah, you talking my language now. Only thing I'd add to that is oysters. Duck, andouille, and oyster gumbo with a dark roux. I think that's my favorite of the gumbos. Here's another one. Says its favorite gumbo is a smoked duck and sausage. Next, it's seafood followed by smoked chicken and sausage. They're all good comfort foods that bring families and friends together. That's Jerry from Kenner. And generally, gumbo, it's not consumed near as much in the summer months, although it's good any time. When it gets cold, though, boy, that's when you want a good hot steaming bowl of gumbo and put a little bit of Louisiana hot sauce in there, and, man, you're good to go. All right, here's one from my friend Captain Robin. Best gumbo I ever ate was Prejean's Pheasant, Quail, and Andouille Gumbo at their Jazz Fest booth. You know, I've got that recipe, and I don't know where it came from, but I have it, and that is a great one. All game birds, dove, quail, woodcock, pheasant, grouse, any of those that you can get, they all make good gumbo, because they have a tendency, if you try to roast them or bake them or even grill them sometimes, they'll kind of dry out. But nothing dries out in a gumbo, that's for sure. And here's one that's unusual. Nothing better than fried armadillo gumbo with a dark roux and okra. Yes, I have eaten armadillo, not in a gumbo, and it wasn't bad. Kind of remind me of a kind of a gamey flavored pork roast. Anyway, if you want to try it, there it is, armadillo gumbo, okra. Let's see, here's one. First responder, chef, one team in North Carolina, now going to Florida. I got a lot of people doing some very good work and trying to give some comfort to some of those people seriously affected by the hurricanes. Here's one says, Don, my son and I are taking a weekend off to do some tree trimming on our lease in Washington County, Alabama. The best gumbo with seafood. That's kind of the line, you know, there's game and then there's chicken and sausage and then you have all the different varieties of seafood. You can put crawfish, crab, shrimp, oysters, pretty much anything in those gumbos. Here's Lafitte LT. Had a good first day. They were at the he's at the Ladies Rodeo in Grand Isle. He was there yesterday, weighed in trout, reds, drums, and gaff tops, about to head out for day two. Pray for us captains with these 10 ladies. I enjoy fishing with the ladies. They seem to just sometimes be better at it and enjoy it more than the guys do. Not that we don't. Here's one says, Don, I hope you don't put potato salad in your gumbo. LOL. I never do that. Some people, well, they do the other thing. They dump gumbo on a big bowl of potato salad. Two totally different foods. You know, gumbo and rice, yeah. Gumbo on potato salad, that's kind of a River Road thing. I would certainly have eat them side by side, but I wouldn't want to mix them. You kind of lose the flavor, the unique flavor of both by combining them, I think. But a lot of people do. And let's see. The best gumbo is the one on my plate. that's a vote for all of the above, that's for sure. All right, I want to remind you, we got deer season is open in some areas. A lot of areas is open for archery only. But it's not far off, and a lot of people will be taken to the woods with this great weather. And Hunters for the Hungry wanted me to remind everyone that they're out to get $100,000 in 100 days, and they're asking you to, because this will help pay for the processing fees, because you can donate your deer, bucks, does, venison, hogs, and other wild game to the organization, and they will give it to a processor who will process it for free, but there is some cost to the organization, but they pick up the tab. So they need some help. Check them out. The easiest way to do it, here's an easy way. It's H4HLA.org. That's H4HLA.org. Hunters for the Hungry, you know they have the clean out the freezer day, but it goes on all year long. And not just game, they also accept fish and seafood. All right, back with Captain Darryl Carpenter's report from Grand Isle right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it seems to be a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Let's check in on Grand Isle. We talk with Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Darryl, I understand you're gassing up the boat, getting all your gear in place. Where are you headed?
Oh, well, Don, I mean, most of the action right now, is, you know, as far as we know anyway, because the way the wind's been blowing, most of the action has been in the marsh. Trout are everywhere. A lot of good catches. A lot of early limits the last few days. I mean, nice, good speckled trout. You can tell the migration, you know, is well underway. It's been a little bit rough. Nobody's really fished the lower bays. Could possibly be. History tells me that there's going to be fish in the lower bays. And, you know, it looks like it's calm enough to do it this morning. But, man, yesterday was rough. Yesterday was a lot of wind blowing. Everything's been going great, Don. We had some redfish trips this week. Redfish are very hard to find right now. They're just scattered everywhere. What little bit we have are scattered everywhere. Talking to my backup boats and all up around the Lafitte area, they're even running, if you would, a little bit north, all around the Blue Point area, and all the redfish are thick up there, but they're still way up in the marsh for us right now.
Yep, you got to get up there and get after them. But you are going to have some falling tide today. I believe your high tide there is going to be, in fact, it's already passed about an hour ago. And from now until 4 o'clock, it should be falling out of there, and it's in about a foot and a half rain. So you got a lot of moving water.
Yeah, you know, and ever since that storm cut across the Gulf, we've had very high tides. In fact, it was flooded yesterday morning whenever we woke up. But I noticed this morning it looks like the tides have gone down to where they're back in the banks. We do have a big range today as well as yesterday. It fell all day yesterday. But, I mean, they are back in the banks now. I mean, it was so high this week, it was some places were hard to recognize. I had to rely a little bit more on the GPS than I normally do because things just didn't look the same.
You know, it's amazing. Storms 100 miles, hundreds of miles away. But when they're in the Gulf of Mexico, it's going to pretty much affect the whole area.
Yeah, it did. It did, Don. And look, a lot of shrimp moving out. Earlier in the week, it was better. In fact, I had to go into town and was headed up to Bayou up alongside of Bayou Lafourche the other day. And from Leeville all the way to the Golden Meadow Gate was absolutely nothing but one flock of birds after another. So the shrimp are starting to move out. Yesterday we saw a couple of flocks. wasn't as thick or as heavy, and you know we wasn't gonna leave biting fish yesterday to go see what was under the birds. But there's plenty of birds if you ride around, keep your eyes open. There's plenty of birds to be picking. And I mean it's turning into be a great fall. The weather's great. You don't have to worry about being in by 10, 11 o'clock because you're getting baked out there in the sun. It feels great. In fact, yesterday I wore blue jeans.
Yep, well, it's going to be good, especially going to be better even next week. Going to have some pretty really chilly temperatures. Got to remind people to bring a jacket for the ride out of there early in the morning. You know, people think, oh, well, it's still pretty warm, but that can be a pretty chilly ride in the morning when you head it out before the sun comes up or right at daylight.
Yeah, that was me yesterday, Don. I walked out the house with jeans, with shorts on and started loading the boat and everything. I'm like, that wind picked up a little bit, and I'm like, nope, I'm going upstairs to put jeans on.
Yep. Well, Darryl, good talking to you as always. Glad the fishing is getting ready to go on. You know, I did want to pass something along to you. You know, we talked about now that we've got the minimum size raised on the trout and on the redfish, there's a lot more fish that have to be released, and particularly down in your area. The dolphins are a problem. You know, they find the boat. They've learned that when somebody's fishing and they're releasing fish, they're ready to gobble them up, and there's no safe way to get those fish back in the water. And then you gave me some information on a sounding device that pings and keeps the dolphins away, and I researched it, contacted the company, and I'm sorry to report that I just don't think it's going to be pragmatic for recreational fishermen for the expense, for what you get, and its efficacy. I just don't think it's the answer.
Well, I'm glad you had time to look into it, because I was sure thinking about maybe grabbing one and trying it just to see, but I'm glad to know that. We'll have to talk later and get some details.
Yeah, well, maybe in the future they can refine them and make them a little bit more compact, smaller, and less expensive, and to where you can, you know, the average fisherman would be able to use it. But for right now, what they've got and the way it works, it's really more designed for commercial use. You know, the bigger boats hauling in a lot of fish and either getting the dolphins entangled in the nets or also, you know, eating their catch too, just like what happens to the recreationals. But it's not the answer we're looking for, so maybe there will be one down the road.
I hear you.
Darryl, give us your contact info. I'm sure there's a lot of people love to come fishing with you down there now that the weather's changing. They don't fish in the heat of the summer, but they love to get out there in the fall. So let them know how to get you and book a trip with you.
Well, Don, they can always find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com. All the information is there. And or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Don. Y'all have a wonderful day. Get outside, man. It's gorgeous.
Yes, indeed. Don't stay inside today. I know there's football on TV, but, man, get outside. Bring the TV outside. All right, the radio. Radio always works for me. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to be getting our Paddler's Report. Got a brand-new sponsor, the Paddler's Report. We'll introduce you to them. Also, Captain Eric's going to join us. He and the crew are down there at the Delta Marine and Empire for the Falling Tide Tournament. Ryan Lambert will check out from Lower Plaquemine. And going to tell you about some Ducks Unlimited events, all coming up in the next hour of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And thank you for the intro to Mr. Lynn Rollins, LSU broadcaster, and also the musician and singer Reed Alleman, who wrote and produced that song for me. Thank you guys so much. All right, welcome into hour number two on this National Gumbo Day and National Wildlife Refuge Week. Gumbo, while we're getting some information in on our text board, let us know your favorite gumbo ingredients. What might they be? 504-260-1870. We've got fishing reports coming up. Also got the story, a bad boy story. Unfortunately, we got to do this every week and let you know about the wildlife agents that are out there doing their job, protecting our natural resources. And we got one, some guys off frogging trip kind of went bad, went south real quick. All right, here's some text. Favorite gumbo is a chicken sausage with oysters. C'est bon. Also, they're having a chicken and sausage jambalaya. I would say that's probably the most popular. But a jambalaya, this is not gumbo now, this is different. Jambalaya at the Louisiana State High Power Rifle Championship at Palo Alto Rifle and Pistol Club. That's going to be October 18th through 20th. That place is in Donaldsonville. This one says, your show encourages community. Your listeners listen and participate. It's cool. It's why I listen every Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for almost 20 years. Nuts, but so cool. It's not that nuts. No, you're not alone, and we thank all of the listeners and sponsors that I've enjoyed having over the past 35 years of doing this show. All right, here's a text from Mobile, Alabama. There are many great things about Louisiana, not the least of which is the Cajun Navy and the fine work they do in their efforts of searching and rescuing storm victims. Please give them a shout-out. Well, you just did. Keep up the good work, Cajun Navy. And here's one says, great weather for tailgating at LSU this weekend as well. Listening from the RV lot across from the vet school this morning. I know who this is. He says, I smoke an extra turkey at Thanksgiving and Christmas to make a smoked turkey and andouille sausage gumbo. Hope to see all the New Orleans area duck hunters at the New Orleans DU banquet on Wednesday at Mardi Gras World. That, of course, is from Mike Benj, a longtime Ducks Unlimited volunteer and organizer of the Ducks Unlimited Banquet for the New Orleans chapter. Got a new location, and like he mentioned, Wednesday, October 16th, Mardi Gras World. Doors will open at 6. Got tables of 10 starting at $1,500 or an individual ticket for $125. You can call Brian Bernard, 225-290-2700. If you didn't get that number and you want it, text me and I'll send it to you. Also, you can do it on the website at ducks.org. It's going to be a big one. It always is. And a new location, Mardi Gras World. It's going to be Wednesday at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets at the door. Another Ducks Unlimited banquet coming up next week is going to be on Thursday night, the very next night. The Mandeville Covington DU Dinner is going to be held Thursday, October 17th. This one's at the Castine Center in Mandeville at Pelican Park. And they put a little note in there. They will have the Saints game on the big screen at the banquet. And, of course, you can, as I mentioned, always bring the radio. Many of these same stations you're listening to now also are affiliates and the flagship, WWL, for the New Orleans Saints radio network. All right, let's see. You got any more texts coming in? Yeah, here's one from the crew over at Corey's Barbershop hollering, "Go Tigers." I know they're getting ready for tonight's game against Ole Miss. Here's one that says, "Took my only grandson to Wadeel Wildlife Management last Saturday. He caught his first fish with his old pawpaw. Thanks to you and LDWF for letting us know." Well, you're quite welcome. If you know what I mean, that's Big E from Thibodeau. Yeah, it's got to be a really good feeling. Here's one says, "We're coming in clear in Navarre Beach. They're chasing the pompano from the Weave." Well, let me know if you get some. He says, another one says, "About this wonderful area, tried to email you with a photo, but my computer doesn't recognize your email address. Also, my favorite is Miss Pam's." Well, you got to tell me more about that. Don't know what Miss Pam's gumbo is all about. I don't know why you're having trouble with my email. If it's the contact button on the DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. It should pull up the right one. All right, anyway, we'll be back right after this. We're going to talk to Captain Mike Gallo. There's a rumor he was born on the bayou. I don't know if that's true or not, but he spends an awful lot of time there now. Lots of options today on a beautiful Saturday morning for fishing. We'll find out where he's headed and where he suggests you may try next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, if you spend a considerable amount of time on the water, you've probably seen those big yellow boats headed out, and they're probably going out to do some type of a rescue or possible assistance to a stranded boater. And thankfully, it's not you. But if it were you, you'd even be more thankful if you had a sea tow policy, because that's who those guys are. They're the captains that offer you peace of mind, because you'll know he's standing by 24/7 if you ever need help out on the water. I'm talking towing, fuel delivery, electrical jump starts, whatever you need. And if they can't keep you on the water, they'll get you back to the dock safely. It's $249 for a whole year. If you'd like to give it as a gift or for yourself, call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or you can do it all online at seato.com. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Mike, man, I was thinking about you, and I'm thinking, man, the bridges would be fishable today, the wriggles, the upper reaches of those rivers that pour in, that draw saltwater fish in, that whole complex down there by the wall. You could cross Lake Bourne and get into the Biloxi. Man, where are you going to go today?
I tell you, you could take a standard map and throw a dart at it, and where the dart hits, go there and probably catch fish.
I think so. You're right.
It's a pretty wide-open slate today as to where you'd like to go and what you'd like to do. There are fish at the bridges in Lake Pontchartrain. We're seeing a few speckled trout. They do seem to be above average in size. I remember we spoke about this last weekend, and one of my clients caught a 21-inch trout. So nice, beautiful trout, but I think they only had 15 for the day, and it was a group of four. So they still hadn't come in any big numbers. After we get a couple of cold fronts, we'll really see those bridges be more productive as far as speckled trout. But there's a lot of drum by the bridges. There's plenty of sheephead. There's the occasional redfish. There's even some flounder, and that season is still open. So there's definitely some options there. The deeper passes in the area, Wrigley's Pass, Unknown Pass, Miller's Bayou, Chef Pass, Bayou Thomas, those are all producing. The wall is producing. I ended up down by the wall yesterday, and I actually saw our friends from Seaco on their way to rescue somebody. So I know that boater was happy.
Yes.
I know that boater was happy for sure. So lots of options today, really pleasant weather. I really haven't decided yet where I'd like to go. There's just so many options. I'm standing in front of the lodge, and I've seen quite a few boats go by, so that tells me there'll be some boat traffic. I may head towards the Biloxi Marsh and be a little more secluded.
Mike, I'm looking at the lake temperature, and it has dropped. It's down to about 81, which is still pretty warm. Has the water temperature dropped enough to where you're slowing down your presentation, or is that not here yet?
Oh, no, that's not necessary yet at all. Water temperatures have been in the mid-70s, so everything's at your disposal at that temperature. You could fish top water, popping corks with plastic. You could fish the bottom. You could fish suspending lures, jig heads that you're reeling through the water column as opposed to letting it go all the way to the bottom. So you have quite a few options with this type of temperature.
How about live bait in the area? Is it looking good? Everybody in good shape? All the marinas over your way?
Yeah, plenty of beautiful live bait. It's mostly being caught locally, so you're able to, recirculate your water, and they'll live quite a while since the water temperatures are not too warm. I just told your screener that it could be the best day of the year so far.
I think you're right. Everything, like Robbie said, the moon and the stars are all aligned for today with the wind, the tide, the temperature, time of year. I just think, everybody's going to have a really good day on the water out there.
It certainly is shaping up to be a good, productive day. And, look, even if it's not your best day as far as putting fish in a box, like our old friend Dutch would say, it's going to be a beautiful day on the water.
Yeah, I mean, just to get out in the boat and sit there. I mean, I know a lot of people, particularly some of the ladies, they just bring a book. And while everybody else fishes, they'll just read their book and enjoy being out there, you know.
I fished with a doctor yesterday, and he was telling me some horror stories from some of his patients. And that guy was stressed out. And I said, I think I got a spot not far from here where you can de-stress. Oh, today is one of those days that the fish are not biting. You certainly can release a lot of stress.
Mike, it's National Gumbo Day, and I know you like gumbo. What's your favorite?
Well, Don, from looking at me, you can tell I'm not too hard to feed. I like most types of gumbo. I probably would say chicken and sausage, as long as it's double D sausage, would be my favorite gumbo.
Yeah, that's a good one. And, a lot of guys like you that are fishing guides or spend a lot of time out there, you just kind of get burned out a little bit on the seafood. You deal with it on a daily basis, so good old chicken and sausage hits the spot.
Yeah, I definitely like chicken and sausage gumbo, but I eat them all.
Got it. All right, Mike, y'all have fun. Take off from the spots in Dots Lake House Lodge, and if people want to find you, you're on my website, been there for years. Tell them about your site and your phone number.
Very simple. You can find me at aaofla.com, on social media at Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the telephone, which is 985-781-7811.
All right, Mike, have fun. We'll talk to you next week, and I hope the only time you see toe is when you're fishing with them.
That's correct. I agree 100%, but it is peace of mind to know they're backing me up should I need them.
Gotcha. Go get them, Mike. We appreciate your report.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, coming up next, it's our Paddler's Report. Got a new sponsor, Captain Eric Mahabarax, with a crew down there at Delta Marina in Empire. It's the site of the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club's Fallen Tide Tournament. It's a Hobie tournament, a qualifying tournament for the Hobie Championship. We'll be back to talk to Eric about it right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this morning we introduce a new sponsor for the Paddler's Report, No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. And by the way, today they're hosting a demo day and a sale all day today from 10 till 6. You can demo the fleet of kayaks and enjoy some really steep discounts on boats, fishing tackle, apparel, and much more. They have a demo pool. It's available to try before you buy the kayaks right there on site, and they'll have live fly tying and fly casting demonstrations throughout the day. No Wake Outfitters is the area's premier outfitters for kayaking, fishing, especially fly fishing, hunting gear, and apparel. No Wake Outdoors and Outfitters, Airline Drive in Metairie, just outside the city limits of New Orleans in Metairie, open 10 to 6, Mondays through Saturday. Check them out on Facebook. Joining us is Eric Mahabarax. And, Eric, sounds like you and the crew down there, the Black Sheep crew, having a heck of a time at the Fallen Tide Tournament, and you had a good pre-scouting trip yesterday, too. Give us some rundown on what the tournament's all about and what you think it's going to take to win it.
Yeah, Don, how y'all doing this morning? Man, it's some great weather down here. The fish are nibbling. What's it going to take to win it? I think it's going to take The trout seem to be averaging about 18 inches. A few 20s have been caught as of yesterday. The redfish seem to be averaging between 20 and 23 inches, 26 inches, and it's going to be the flounder. I think whoever hits the 26-inch redfish, because we don't take redfish over 26 inches for this tournament because of the new rule, just to be safe so we're not breaking the law. And so that's the thing, we release them over 26. It's going to take a flounder and a trout. So I'm thinking 13 pounds is going to win it, unless somebody comes out of Venice with one of those big hammer reds, one of them slot reds at about 8-9 pounds. And then in that case, it must probably be 15 to 16 pounds is what I'm thinking. But I'm figuring 13 is going to win it. That's the deal. Everybody caught fish yesterday, from everybody I talked to, from A to Z, from Myrtle Grove all the way down to the wagon wheel. The fish are just nibbling everywhere.
Well, that picture you sent me, at first I thought those fish up in the front were redfish, but then I looked at them, going to speckled trout. That was some sizable trout. You must have had some close to 20 or 20 in that group, huh?
Oh, they were 18s, Don. They were 18s. I think we had a couple, maybe 120 or something like that. The redfish were nice, too.
Very good. Well, I don't want you to give away your location, but maybe you could tell us the technique you used to catch those trout yesterday.
Yeah, Don, I'll give my location right now. I'm standing right under the water tower of Boothville. You can ride by and see me. Get ready to go put it in the water, man. I'm fishing down in Yellow Cotton today. I may make it to the wagon wheel from here. I don't know yet, but hopefully we catch a few fish. But it's going to look like somebody dumped a box of Crayolas on this marsh. You can only fish the west side in this tournament, so all those boaters need to be careful out there. They got the kayakers running around the marsh.
That's a good point.
It seems as if Yellow Cotton, the Wagon Wheel, Burris, Empire, and Port Sulphur seem to be producing the larger fish on that side that you're looking for.
Eric, you have been fishing kayaks a long time, and you're an expert at it, and we're going to give out your information because you're one of the few people who books trips. But I also know, and a lot of people don't notice about you, you are quite the connoisseur and the gourmet chef. Gumbo, when it comes to gumbo, what do you like and what do you do?
Well, Darren, let me tell you about what I think about gumbo. If your mom makes it, I'm eating it because it's got to be good. So it doesn't matter who makes the gumbo. I got some fat boy problems. I'm going to eat it. But I guess the best restaurants would be Frankie and Johnny's and the Wabbit. Those are the two best gumbos I've come across in the metropolitan area. Personally, I haven't tried them all. But, I make a good gumbo. I'm not arguing with gumbo. I really haven't met one I didn't like.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm with you on the Wabbit. They opened a location down the river. Have you been to that one?
No, I haven't been to that one, but I have been to the one in Gretna many, many times. Great place. The food's the same down there. It's still good.
Yeah, I'm sure you pass by it almost on a weekly basis,
Yep.
Well, maybe somebody can give us a report from the Wabbit number 2, the one that's down. What is it, in Myrtle Grove? Is that where it is?
The Wabbit number 2. It's right there at the halfway bar, Myrtle Grove.
Got it.
Right across from the marina.
All right, Eric, we're going to let you get in the water and hopefully win that tournament. It's a Hobie qualifying tournament, by the way, in addition to the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. If somebody wants to get with you, give them the best way to get in touch with you.
It's really easy, Don. You just call me up on the telephone, 504-313-8292. Also, Instagram and Facebook.
Got it.
And it's easy. Louisiana Kayak Company. Or through your website, Don Dubuque, the Outdoor Guy.
All right. You guys have fun down there. What time is weigh-in if people want to come meet everybody at Delta Marina?
Yeah, weigh-in is at 4 o'clock. And, look, they put a good spread on last night. I'm sure the spread of food is going to be good tonight. We look forward to that, too. So y'all come on by. It's a good thing to see.
Good weather day fishing and a good meal at the Ponderosa. Can't beat that. Thanks
can't
for the report,
the
Eric. Okay, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, Don.
Take care.
Yeah. All right, you have a good day. Bye.
There he goes, Captain Eric Mohabarak, Louisiana Kayak Company. All right, coming up next, what time it is. Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Always have a story for you. Got a couple of guys that... Well, it was a frogging trip, but it kind of went awry. We'll be back to tell you a whole lot more about it right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, a lot of our bad boy, the outdoors stories begin when a citizen gives a tip to the Operation Game Thief Hotline. And from there, it goes to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division, and they react. And many of these cases are made thanks to the citizens. And the organization called Louisiana Operation Game Thief issues money, rewards, and they just had one at their October meeting. They had a meeting, and they said they report 15 cases that included the public tips, and they gave out to the informants $4,900. And a lot of the informants don't accept the rewards, but a lot of people do. And you can qualify to get paid for the, if someone is cited for a violation, you can receive a reward of up to $1,000 if you call that Operation Game Thief 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline. There were 26 subjects apprehended, 51 citations were written, and the cases involved deer, migratory game birds, alligator, turkey, small game, and commercial fishing cases. That number, you're going to find it on your hunting and fishing license. It's 800-442-2511. It's a 24-hour hotline, and you can cash in if you so desire by reporting violations of our natural resources. And we got one to tell you about right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. On the night of September 21st, two St. Martinville men allegedly went on a crime spree in the Attakapaw WMA. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Agents Sergeant Jeremy Foray and Lieutenant Scott Dupree were patrolling the Attakapaw WMA when they observed Brian and Antoine Bonin Jr. operating a vessel while shining a spotlight from bank to bank. The agents made contact with the subjects and observed several frogs aboard. So far, so good. Until they found Antoine Jr. in possession of a loaded .22 rifle, which is a no-no while frogging. But wait, there's more. They also found Jr. in possession of, along with the gun, methamphetamines. And it just so happens he's a convicted felon. The agents also determined that Brian Bonet was impaired and was not wearing a cutoff switch lanyard while operating a vessel less than 26 feet in length with a hand tiller motor. It was enough evidence for the agents to book the Bonans into the St. Mary Parish Correctional Facility. Brian is facing fines up to $1,900 and up to 6 months in jail, while convicted felon Antoine Jr. is looking at criminal fines of up to $10,900 and up to 20 years in jail. Not such a good night for these guys. And for what? A few warty frogs? Could be very expensive trip for 42-year-old Brian Bonin and 45-year-old Antoine Bonin Jr. of St. Martinville, Louisiana, our bad boys of the outdoors. Oh, yeah, never run low on them. Well, you know, the bad boy features are presented in part by the Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association. It's a nonprofit group, members of the Enforcement Division, and they provide funds for, they have a scholarship fund and other benefits, and you can help them out and help yourself. Purchase some exclusive gear. They got T-shirts and a variety of colors, hoodies, hats, koozies, and more. Check them out. It's LWAA.org. That's LWAA.org. And that's support Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association. All right, when we come back after this, we got a fishing report from Captain Ryan Lambert. Also going to tell you about the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival coming up at the Pelican Park location in Mandeville, and a little bit more, too. We still got some stuff to go. If you want to send us a text, we're looking for your favorite gumbo, 504-260-1870. As some of our listeners are doing, tell us about a special place that has your favorite gumbo. We'll pass it along to the listeners. We're back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And here he is, the magician of Burris Cajun Fishing Adventures. He takes a handful of plastic and he turns it into speckled trout. We're talking to Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. Boy, I got a lot of options today, Ryan. Got some great weather, some good conditions, good tide range. What's it going to be?
Well, we got about 10 boats going out this morning, and I'm going to go out and do a little free scouting for myself, and then got to get an alligator this evening, so it's a busy day.
Alligators are still biting despite this little cool snap we had?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, as soon as that sun comes up, they'll get on that bank of sun. Yeah, they are. They're cold-blooded. They gotta get that sun. You know, they cool them, so slow them down. But they like basking in the sun, you know, to get their body temperature up. So we'll get them.
Well, how did it work out for you this year? How many tags did you get? How many did you fill? And what was the biggest?
My biggest one was right over 10. And I think we had 26 tags total. And I think we only got a few left. So... got a couple of more people that want them, so I'm just going to fill them out before next weekend and get to meet. We ate alligator again last night. Well, alligator sauce becoming some good.
Yes, it is. Did you use the tail meat or a shoulder or a different part?
I used the round, the muscle in the tail for appetizers, you know, fried alligator in the jaws. Mm-hmm. But the tail is what I put in the sauce pecan. And the legs, I like to grind that up and make hamburgers. So, yeah, everything gets used. But the only thing about alligator, you got to get that pale white fat off of there because it's a strong taste.
Yes,
you know,
clean it
real good. And, boy, it's really good. I mean, I enjoy it. So it's been good. You know, the boys and the girls, I mean, being the guy, girl guides nowadays, they all did well yesterday. They caught a plethora of specks and reds and sheepheads and black drum and, you know, you name it, flounders. They've caught everything. And so I don't imagine that we ain't different today. I'm going to go out this morning too. I want to go on the west side and look around. Everybody's fishing on the east, but I'm going on the west just to look around and see what's out there.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the time of the year. It got to be the best day of the year weather-wise that we've had so far. The number of people you got going out, where are they from? Are there some local people? Or
oh, my
state?
Goodness gracious. All over the country. You know, I had 41 night before last and I think 30-something last night. But they're from all over. Most of our customers come from the Southeastern Conference area. But I do have them as far as, you know, up in New York and Minnesota, you know, all over the country and all over the world for that matter. You know, we probably had them from I don't know, 30, 40 countries too. So it's you get a lot of folks.
Yeah. Well, I know the alligator is going to bring a bunch of people in because they just love that alligator hunting. What do you see for the future alligators in Louisiana? We've got an overpopulation situation. Should they increase the tags? Should they open it up to the public and require tags like they do for deer and turkey? What do you think?
Well, they're going to have to. You know, there's a land issue there that they have to worry about. But they do have them on public land, and they do have the lottery. But they're going to have to increase it because, I mean, they're dead all over the road. Everywhere you look, there's alligators on the road dead. I mean, we have three times more than Florida. I mean, that's 3 million alligators. And they reproduce, you know that nest has a lot of eggs in it, and they hatch out of there. And I imagine the mortality is not too bad the way they're looking because, I mean, they got some big gators. That's some dog eaters. You know, you got to really be careful.
Yeah, and you don't see near the nutria you used to either.
No, they keep the nutria down between the coyotes and the alligators. Nutria don't know where to go anymore.
Now, when you use the meat there at the lodge, which is great, but the hides, are you selling those to a processor? And what is the going rate for alligator per foot now?
Well, it's not very much. I don't know what it is. You know, it's different for different sizes. It's a different thing, but it's minuscule. You know, I just gave them to my deckhands and said, there they are, guys. Y'all take them to the guys. That's your money. You do what you want with it.
I had somebody texting me, said it was $1.66 a foot. Could that be right?
No, it was like $6,
yeah,
I think.
It's
but it's still because the alligator farm just ruined that industry. You know, it was good for them, but it's not good for the wild alligator to hodge, you know. But I like to have one tanned and made things out of for myself, and I'm going to get a nice pair of boots too. So the guy up in Lafayette, Staten, they do a great job on tanning them. You know, you pick your colors, and they come out either glossy or dull, whatever you want. And I mean, they did a great job for me.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because a while back we didn't have any gator processing facilities as far as, you know, making the boots and the hats and belts and that. And it was all shipped to France, I believe, and then it had to come back.
Italy. It was Italy.
And increased the cost exponentially. Well, now you got somebody local. That's great.
Yeah, they're in Lafayette. It's a drive for me, but, you know, they're really nice people, and they did I was really happy with the job they did for me, so I'm gonna do boots. You know, I'm going to get, you know, most people get 2 6-footers, but being I got these big pirogues on the bottom of my legs, I'm going to get some 7-footers for my boots.
Yeah, there's a lot of creative things with gators. I have a belt that was made. I don't get to wear it very often, but it's really, really nice stuff. Well, Ryan, if
you
somebody
know what I did
wants...
also,
go ahead.
I made compacts for my girls with the alligator skin on the back of the compact. They really liked them.
Ah, that's something neat, yeah. You know, there's got to be something they could do with almost all those different parts. I've seen some pretty unique things they do with the alligator parts, you know.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So, yep, fishing's really good. The river, it came to 5.2, but it didn't dirty up. That's the highest I've ever seen it without getting dirty. So it'll start dropping. So this fall is going to be magnificent. And if they want to get a hold of it, they can always call me on my cell phone at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com, and we'll be happy to put you on the book.
You know, it ain't over till it's absolutely over, but it looks like we escaped any serious hurricanes, tropical storms coming up river and destroying some of the habitat. So there should be some good feed still left in there.
They got some still left. A lot of duck potatoes are still green, and a lot of peas are still on the bank. We got lost a lot of our aquatic vegetation, especially on the west. There's none. But I still think it's going to be a great year. You know, not many ducks down yet, but they're on the way.
Well, let's let the ducks know the dinner table is served. It's here for them to come on down. Need some cold weather.
Sure, buddy.
All right, Ron, y'all have fun down there. Say hello to everybody, and we'll catch up with you next time.
See you soon, buddy.
All righty. Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got some last-minute text to get to. If you want to shoot us one, it's 504-260-1870. Also going to talk to you about the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. It's coming up at the end of the month. We'll tell you more details right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the Castine Center at Pelican Park in Mandeville is going to be a busy place for waterfowl and wildfowl enthusiasts. They got the Mandeville Covington Chapter of Ducks Unlimited dinner this coming Thursday, October 17th will be there, and yes, they promise they will have the Saints on the big screen while you're enjoying your dinner and bidding on the items. Then on October 26th and 27th, a two-day event's going to be there at the park. Over 2,000 collector decoys and other wildlife will be on display. They got some new stuff this year, the wine and beer cash bar, and a really neat activity table where if you bring the kids, you can paint a monarch butterfly brooch or a duck head pin. You can take it home, and that's free, at the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival, 26th and 27th. You want to check it out, lwccg.com. All right, getting to some text messages. This is National Gumbo Day. I believe that the whole nation celebrates a Louisiana-born product. Here's one that says, well, it's a question. What is the most exotic body of water you have fished in? That would have to be some of the upper reaches of the Russian River in Alaska. It's only accessible by seaplane, and there's no internet, there's no cell service, there's nothing much up there. And one day I'll tell the story of the big grizzly bear encounter I had up there, but that would have to be the most exotic. Now, I also went to Canada and was up north of Saskatchewan in a similar situation in some of those lakes up there fishing northern pike. But I think the Russian River would have to be it. It'd be a good question for us to throw out for the audience. Maybe we'll do that next week. Here's one asking, do you still do the Cajun Invasion pheasant hunt to South Dakota? We do not have one planned this year. We're working on a combination offshore duck hunt and floundering trip, and I don't have that confirmed in the details yet, but that should be coming up. But what I will do before or right after I get off the air, I'll send you the contact information if you want to do your own little Cajun invasion with the outfitter that we schedule that with. All right, here's one says, if you enjoy gumbo, try B&J Seafood. Great gumbo, terrific seafood. They are in Hammond. Here's a happy National Gumbo Day, Don. I actually made a crab gumbo from scratch last weekend. not my favorite version. I made a Melitón gumbo years ago, which was okay, but my favorite is still good chicken and andouille. We hope all your listeners can enjoy a cup of gumbo today. That's from our friend David Hubble, listening to us over in Mobile. Here's one that says, on the gumbo, no besties here. Just please, blanch the okra, please. Yeah, that's one step that a lot of people fail to do. Here's one that says, my favorite place for gumbo ain't there no more. It's Brunning's. They had a great okra and shrimp gumbo, so creamy. Brunning's was one of my favorite seafood places years ago. They were located over there, what do they call it, West End Park, where they had all the seafood restaurants. Brunning's was right there on the water by the bridge. And, boy, they had some great seafood. But I never tried their gumbo. When I go to a restaurant, very rarely, unless it comes with a meal as an appetizer, I don't really eat gumbo at restaurants. It's just too many other things that are too much trouble or can't get that are available at a restaurant than gumbo. Gumbo's pretty easy. All right. Also, in fact, Uncle Larry's already said gumbo. You know, you ask a man who's in the business of making gumbo what his favorite gumbo is, and he'll tell you it depends on what he's craving. And today he's doing chicken and andouille, but he loves, and this is a unique one, a red bean gumbo with andouille and poached eggs. And then he also likes a smoked turkey neck with chicken and smoked sausage or oyster chicken and sausage. Smoked rabbit, yeah, rabbit gumbo, and a seafood. He loves them all, except no vegan gumbos for him. Here's another vote for a smoked rabbit gumbo. It was my favorite for 40 years. I had beagles, now chicken andouille with a pint of salty oysters added the last 15 minutes of cooking. No dang potato salad in my gumbo. I'm with you. Here's one that says, gumbo, anyway, with everything that swims, walks, or flies. Don, this is Dan and Meredith from Florida. We're on our way to Tiger Stadium, then tomorrow down to the Dome. Go Tigers, who dat? Well, glad to hear you're able to travel, Dan and Meredith. Hope you all didn't get any damage from the hurricane. And here's one that is on the lookout for a fresh roadkill armadillo. I guess he's going to make some of that fried armadillo and okra gumbo. Not one of my favorites, I have to tell you. All right, well, we're just about there. We're out of time on this National Gumbo Day. Hope you grab yourself a bowl. I just poked my head out of St. Hubert's Cathedral here, and it's a little nippy over here, and I saw a couple squirrels running around the trees, and, well, they're safe here. We don't harm the squirrels on the St. Hubert grounds. But if they get off of that, well, it could become fair game. All right, I want to remind you, this broadcast has been a special presentation solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Cannot be rebroadcast without the express written consent of this station, the FCC, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, EPA, the NFL, well, maybe not the NFL, and our engineer, Cullen Steele, and me. And we've enjoyed bringing it to you. Thanks to all of you for listening each and every Saturday morning. We'll be back to do this again. We start dark and early, as we call it, 5 to 7 a.m. each and every Saturday morning, talking about the stuff you and I love to talk about. Enjoy this beautiful weather while we've got it, and more of it coming next week, and we'll talk about it again next Saturday morning, 5 to 7, on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.